It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. On HeadOn.live and HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. The stream from WhiteRoseSociety.org is transferring beautifully over to TuneIn Radio, so Stitcher's good, Roku's good. It's all good for this here Tuesday, the 6th day of February, 2018. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. And yes, our homes are HeadOn.live and HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. And either one of those places will suffice if you'd like to go and become part of the chat room, participate in the madcap, very multimedia, wacky, zany, real-time extravaganza that is the Horn chat room between the hours of 6 and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every evening, Monday through Friday. Yeah. If you jump in and pick out a screen name and a password, well, you will, by Jove, be greeted by none other than Anatole and Hoghead and Silent R. Lamar and Squeaky and Steve from Georgia Stan, and all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space to become Man Cave. Yes. Yes. And more to wander in as the program continues. It's a mighty good time. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we have thanks to send out. Yes, indeed, because we have subscribers. We don't have 400 subscribers, but we have some subscribers. And it's awfully nice to know that you guys are there. Let's see here. We have thanks to send out to Sal, who's been a friend for a very long time. Thank you, Sal. Thank you very kindly to Kitty in Boston. Kitty's been with us for over a year now, pretty sure. Thank you very much to Laurel in far southwest Minnesota, probably still grieving for the Vikings, but, you know, the Eagles held up the conference's honor quite well. Thank you very kindly to Chris in Germany. Thank you very kindly to Bob in North Carolina. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you to Kim in New Jersey. Thank you to Don in West Tennistan. Thank you, Don. Thank you to Alex in New York, and thank you very much to Brock in Pennsylvania, Bamistan. Thank you, Brock. Thank you very much. And there are other thanks to send out as well. Thanks very kindly to Renee at the end of the program last night, who helped us get to where we would finish the program and meet Chris and Germany's challenge from last night. Thanks also go out to Mike in Cascadia. and to Jill, who jumped in to answer the challenge. Thank you very, very much indeed. And let me see, did I miss one? Oh, just a second. And thank you very kindly to Tom for helping us finish the challenge last night and actually carry us into today. So where does that find our, where do we find ourselves? Yes, Chris's challenge was met. Thank you to everybody who helped make that happen. And the rest, between now and my mid-month departure for the wilds of far New York, so we can still have a some fundraising free days. That takes the fundraising goal to about 310, the regular fundraising goal plus 110. So 310, and thanks very kindly Tom. Well, by golly, it just went down to 270. So if we can rouse up $270 this evening, we'll be doing great. 10 at 27, 27 at 10, 1 at 270, 2 at 135, 4 at 67.50, maybe. Yeah, so that's where it stands. And like I said, there are PayPal interfaces both at headonradionetwork.com and headon.live. If you would like to become a subscriber, there's a little box that you check at the interface that says make this a recurring monthly donation, or language somehow to that effect. You click that box, you go on through, you finish the process, and you're done. That's basically all that's involved. If you can't stand PayPal, we have, yes, we have a Patreon campaign, patreon.com/Bob Kincaid. For people who hate PayPal, and that works easily too. And all those subscriptions come out on the very first day of the month. Might be a little easier to keep track of. But we don't quite have enough subscribers over at Patreon to cover one day's broadcast. So maybe think about that. Laurel tells me it's caucus night in Minnesota. Show up, get involved, make yourself heard. You know, you gotta buy the ticket in order to take the ride. So, looks like Laurel is off to the caucuses, not the caucuses, not the mountains, but the caucuses in Minnesota. Come to think of it, that's still where a lot. Never mind. I'm gonna leave that alone. Ron and Raleigh pointing out, latest from North Korea. The latest missive from North Korea intimates that Dolt 45 is odoriferous, which leads me to paraphrase Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Can you smell what the Dolt is cooking? I don't know that I want to. And wow, that's really the opposite of food porn, isn't it? Yes. And thanks for the kind words on the very, very long filibobster last night. I appreciate it. I'm always glad to hear people. It's nice to get responses, and it's nice when it's something that y'all appreciated or enjoyed. Yeah. So thank you very kindly for that. Now, let's see. It is the sixth day, like I said, of February 2018. And for today's edition of This Day in Horn History, we're stepping into Bill and Ted's phone booth and dialing all the way back to February 6th, 2013. It's a Prayer Meeting Wednesday program. They all seem to be, for some reason or another. You would think that this radio program has been nothing but Prayer Meeting Wednesday, the way these things shake out for some reason. And Bob holds, hots up the mic from the Horns DC studios with some great news. The AIC Act, H.R. 526 at the time, it's 786 now, has been reintroduced in the Congress by Representative John Yarmuth of Kentucky with a whopping 24 co-sponsors. All of those were Democratic representatives, Bob says. Not a single goddamn Republican cared enough about the unborn fetuses in Appalachia to co-sponsor the bill. Not a single one. In other news, Libby Phelps Alvarez, the daughter of infamous, now dead, hate pastor Fred Phelps, has made a run for it and escaped her dad's cult of hate. There was a point when we started praying for people to die so we could protest their funeral, says Libby Phelps. This in light of recent reports that the professional hate group, the Westboro Baptist Church, has been holding protests at the funerals of 20 innocent children, all ages 6 and 7, who were senselessly slaughtered at Sandy Hook Elementary. The group has stated on the Twitters their pleasure in little children being slaughtered as Westboro will picket at Sandy Hook Elementary School to sing the praise to God for the glory of his work in executing his judgment. Christians. And don't send me emails saying that they weren't. Yes, they are. They certainly were. Believed everything you had to believe to get to heaven when you die so that you can have the pie in the sky. Oh, yeah. So, but, you know, if you do send me an email saying they weren't Christians, I'll give you points for at least trying to do something about America's Christian problem. There's news out of Jackson, Tennessee, where an upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered evangelical has relinquished his dog to a kill shelter for fear of the dog being gay. Apparently, the man caught his dog humping another dog, which happened to be male, and decided he can't allow no homo canine in his Christian household. You do realize that dogs often mount each other to exert domination over another, don't you? Bob asks, the good news being that someone has adopted the dog just before he was going to be euthanized and renamed him Elton. This engenders substantial feedback from the Horn community, the highlights being Bob should play Who Let the Dogs Out of the Closet for bumper music, and don't nobody tell this dumbass Christian about bonobos. They fuck at any time for any reason in any sexual combination. Meanwhile, Jim writes in from West Virginia with a profound observation. People in mountaintop removal sacrifice zones are routinely committed to kill shelters by virtue of where their homes happen to be, and there's nobody to adopt those people. And that was a brief look 5 years into antiquity, all the way back to February the 6th, 2013, for This Day in Horn History. Brought to you, of course, by Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, who encourages you to try, just try. You don't have to, no, you'll be so glad that you did. Try, because they're new. Try tactless turnip seed. We've got a new shipment in, and people are and they're flying out the door as people are ordering these imaginary bullshit nutritional supplements. That's right, tactful turnip seed, a hillbilly remedy from way back. Yes, tactful turnip seed will help you get through each and every day without screaming fits of invective and pejoratives and expletives and vulgarities. We have a president who doesn't take tactless turnip seed, and all you have to do is take one look at his Twitter timeline, and you know he's not taking it. Tactless turnip seed, of course, comes in a 30-day supply, but if you order the 90-day supply for only $112.52, why, by golly, we'll send you a little bundle of test strips. And using those test strips, you can check into our tactless turnip seed the capsules at home and find out, yes, that you've been had, absolutely, because you, dumbass, ordered nutritional supplements on the radio. Because you can't be a real, live, honest-to-goodness radio program without a real, live, honest-to-goodness bullshit nutritional supplement to hustle. And that's why we've got tactless turnip seed for you right here, right now. Except no substitutes. Your mileage may vary. No salesman will call. Tactless turnip seed. This side up, that side down. Use no hooks, post no bills. Do not form into bales. FOB, COD, TURNIP, tactless turnip seed, only from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Proud sponsor of This Day in Horn History. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, where do we go? It's Titanic Tuesday, of course. And that means we've got any number of manifestations of Titanic right-wing intellect. But I've just got a couple of observations here. And they're visuals, and I realize... Oh, by the way, remember, we have a new phone number here. If it costs you money to call the program, you know, 304-574-8178, if it costs you money to call the program, well, it doesn't anymore, because we've got a toll-free line for you. Now, this is only for people who don't have unlimited dialing plans and can call from anywhere without a toll charge. But if for some reason you're one of those people who has to pay a toll, who has to pay long distance charges, then we've got a number for you. 844 the horn. 844 THEHORN. Okay? That's 844-843-4676. 844 the horn. And when I open up the program to conversation, you can make use of that if it costs you money to call the program. If it doesn't, don't, because it costs us money to pay for the call. Okay, see how it works? And it all comes into the same place, so if somebody's on one line, that's the only line there is. And someday when we've got another, you know, we've got $3,000 laying around, we're not doing anything, we'll buy a new Comrex, and we'll set up 6 phone lines and all kinds of happy crap. But not now. We got 1 phone line. Okay? So just so everybody understands that. But no, this is visual, and you'll have to go back to find it. But what the hell was wrong with Paul Ryan today? This morning, he stepped out to sort of... release himself from certain issues surrounding the Democratic memo in response to the Republican memo, and all these memos are basically they're supposed to be helpful guidance from the House to from the Council to the actual members of Congress, you know, because some of them can be. Well, they're not lawyers, and they might need a little help along the blah blah blah. And the Republican memo, the earth-shattering Republican memo, turned out to be pretty schoolboyish, and not written with any particular legal talent. Although it was, but anyway, so Paul Ryan shows up at a podium this morning. The news programs I was watching, that Agnes and I were watching, cut away to him. And I actually checked on a couple of different screens to make sure it wasn't a resolution thing or something. If you go and find the video from today, you'll see it. Dude had pink eye? Or maybe had stopped the evening's drinking binge about 15 minutes before he stepped in front of the podium? I mean, he had Rand McNally roadmap eyes. Little red lines running everywhere. If there'd been a bruise forming, I would have sworn that maybe Adam Schiff had, well, I mean, somebody, had punched him. But the one eye was just one broken capillary away from bleeding, and the other one was not far behind. I mean, is this another manifestation of Junior the other day tweeting that democracy dies in dankness? Had he been honking on a big old cone to some of that Wisconsin woo-hoo weed? One doesn't know, but my God. Of course, Agnes immediately said, pink eye? Probably comes from having his head up Trump's ass for so long. You can get, you know, pink eye causation in it. But it was bizarre enough that it jumped off the screen at me. And he wasn't talking like this or anything. Although he would have made the same amount of sense had he been. But, and I didn't think to just stick my phone up and take a picture of the screen real quick. Yeah, otherwise I would have. That was just weird. Well, Speaker Ryan is working through, he's got the flu, and Speaker Ryan is working through it. And that's how much he cares about screwing America. And he'll come to work, his eyes practically bleeding out of his head. Well, that's a good point. Silent R. Lamar pointing out the stress of lying to the American people. I would tend to believe that if I thought that Paul Ryan had a conscience. There being no actual proof of that concept, however, I will withhold judgment. So there's that. Yeah, you can look it up. If we were doing this in video, I'd press a magic button on some magic box, and it would immediately show up on the screen, and we'd use one of those gizmos with the pencil that they do on football and baseball and basketball, and draw arrows on the screen, and I'd draw a big circle around Paul Ryan's bloody red eye. Took the red eye in last night from Janesville. Was that it? Oh, it's a Tuesday. You know what? He may have gotten into a few of the mini bottles on the way in. Maybe. Well, then that's true too. Ron and Raleigh pointing out, hey Bob, maybe he indulged in several bottles of that $300 wine he's so fond of. Or maybe he was laughing so hard over the business about the teacher with the $1.50 raise that she was allegedly thrilled about. Maybe he was laughing so hard he burst blood vessels that way. Or given what happened in the stock market yesterday, maybe he took a bath and maybe he'd been weeping. Continuous weeping will. Make your eyes all red. But whatever it was, what was surprising was that nobody, the Congress, he's a millionaire, and nobody around him had a bottle of Visine. He needs at least one stoner on his staff to hand him the bottle of Clear Eyes. And so, no, seriously, Mr. Speaker, don't go out in front of them looking like that. Wait, what? Okay, could it be? Okay, Agnes found a photo. Agnes made a photo? Well, she did a screen cap, and 10:18 a.m., and there he is. It looks like the eyes are going to bleed right out of his head. But maybe he did. Maybe he took a bath yesterday on Wall Street. The market got back 500 points today. It was a frustrating day to be someone who was interested in the news. Of course, that's most days if you're watching the for-profit media. Because that's all it was. Stock market, stock market, stock market, stock market, stock market. All morning long. And talk about, you know, interest rates and all those working people making all that money now and how it made the capitalists, gave them a sad. So the market had to take a dose of Correctol and shit all over itself, and it, right. But just in the course of all of that, and I'm just putting this out there as a little thought experiment. And I'm thinking maybe it might be a winnable notion. because there was all this talk about, well, you know, I mean, it's certainly inexplicable because the economy's doing so well, and golly, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, it's just climbing, it's just flying, it's going to go into outer space soon. The stock market, equities, inflation. And more when I hear these stories, I can't help thinking that most of the people that I know around here, because again, I live in West Virginia, and we are a very poor state. And most of the people I know around here have no more relationship with Wall Street than I have with Meryl Streep. Less than zero. And so in the midst of talking about, well, you know, we've got near full employment and wages are rising. Wait a minute. The stock market took a dump because the American people are going to have $70 a family of two making $70,000 a year is going to have $70 more a month in their paycheck or some such, and that caused $1 trillion to disappear in a matter of about 3 days. Have I got that? Yeah. Well, that got me to thinking, because that was one of the drumbeats. But the economy is strong. The economy is healthy. We've never seen such unprecedented growth. So this. You know, there are all kinds of economic indicators out there. I mean, there's the gross domestic product and the average of leading economic indicators and the misery index and then of course there are there's the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the Standard and Poor's and the NASDAQ and the Huzak and the, you know what we don't have? We don't have a common sense economic indicator. And we don't have one of those, because if we had one, it would show up all of this Wall Street horse shit for exactly the horse shit that it is. The diaphanous, chimerical lie that it is. Here's the only real metric that matters. We need an economy in which a single mom with a high school diploma can feed and clothe and house her kids and see to their educations without public assistance. Now, I'm a big believer in things like food stamps and helping people who are starving not starve. I think one of the most brutal, ugly, hateful moments in modern American political history was when, back in the mid-90s, when Bill Clinton shook that knuckle at us and said, "The era of big government is over." And what he meant by that was that the poor were going to take it in the shorts again. Some more. But think about it. If we had a country in which a single mom working one job could feed, clothe, house, and educate her children without recourse to public assistance, would have we'd have a viable economy that was working for everybody. Oh, I know. I'm being foolish and idealistic and stuff. Sister Carol Baker just noted, sorry, you lost me at single mom. Why doesn't this woman have a man to have dominion over her? He'll pay the bills. End snark. Well, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, and when it comes right down to it, single moms are some really, really tough, strong links in the chain. But they are tough and they are strong where they ought not have to be. I've mentioned it before. I think 1976 was the last year in the United States when the population was made up of a majority of single wage earner households. Now, understand, I'm not talking about who should be in the workforce and who shouldn't be. I'm talking about a de minimis standard. I'm talking about a standard that says, sorry, no 24-karat gold toilets for our CEO class unless that minimum standard is being met. Silent R. Lamar saying, no, we had that before Reagan, Bob. I know. 1976. That was the year that Ronald Reagan tried to hijack the Republican nomination away from Gerald R. Ford. Can you imagine what a different America that would create? The things that you would want to have in order for something like that to work, and compared to the recent maternal or parental or child care leave proposal, you know, where if you take 6 weeks off because you got a newborn baby, you got to wait 6 weeks longer before you can file for Social Security when you're 90 or whatever it'll be when the Republicans are done with it. That, holy shit. But you'd want access to meaningful child care so mama can go to work. You'd want access to appropriate preschool and kindergarten, again, so mama could go to work. And if you just happened to have a two-wage earner household, what would that mean? That would mean that two-wage earners together with those high school diplomas, that would mean those two-wage earners could feed, clothe, house, and educate their children, and one of the two incomes could be used to do things like save for college. Or maybe take the kids on vacation, or maybe go back to West Virginia every August instead of going somewhere interesting. That's me, sorry. Bitterness. Yeah, meanwhile, Phillips says, how difficult is it to adjust wages for the cost of inflation? My understanding is if working people make more money, they will eventually circulate that money back into the economy. Of course they will. That second, in that two-wage earner household that I was just imagining a moment ago, there's going to be all kinds of stuff circulating. Cars being bought and stoves and refrigerators. You'll have to get through... It'll take a cattle prod and a can of pepper spray just to get through Walmart. But see, then the moneyed class and the capitalists and the CEOs and the hedge fund managers will all have a sad and they won't trade on Wall Street, and Wall Street will collapse. There really is a class war out there, isn't there? But I'm pretty well tired of hearing about how flashy and dashy the economy is. But by the same token, what we hear about, jobs are coming back to America. Well, of course they are. I predicted this years ago. I said that when the jobs had disappeared from America and American workers had become compliant enough to take shit non-union wages for anything that they did, that then the jobs would be allowed to come back here. It is pure 200-proof Milton Friedman, University of Chicago economics. Period. And not that I have much interest in forming a coalition with the Klansmen and the racists and the neo-Nazis and the bigots and the xenophobes who suffer from economic anxiety. But the fact of the matter is, that's an economic plan. That's an economic concept that you could sell to them if you could get through their racism, their bigotry, their xenophobia, their homophobia, and their clannishness and propensity for fucking goose-stepping. We're going to have a little test case for that aforementioned goose-stepping in the not-too-distant future. That test case will occur in Illinois. And it will feature one Arthur Jones. And he's going to get the Republican nomination for the Illinois 3rd Congressional District seat. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, when the March 20th primary rolls around there in Illinois, Arthur Jones, a retired insurance agent, is going to be the only candidate on the GOP ballot for that seat in Congress. Why do I say it's going to be a test case? Well, Illinois is part of the heartland, is it not? Yes. It's part of that portion of the country that the maggots like to refer to as the real America. Not you coastal elites up there eating your fried tofu snacks and your cruelty-free vegan burgers and stuff and your corn dogs that ain't even got no chicken parts in it whatsoever, not even so much as a molecule of beef in it, bunch of elitist snobs. Arthur Jones, in addition to being a retired insurance executive, is a former official, a leader, in fact, of the American Nazi Party. Not neo, not proto, not crypto. He's a former member of the American Nazi Party, and among other things that he has said is that the Holocaust is, quote, the biggest, blackest lie in history. He's been with the American Nazi Party. He's been with the America First Committee. He's celebrated Hitler's birthday by protesting the opening of Holocaust museums. He's attended neo-Nazi rallies. He's 70 years old. He's running on an America First platform. You know, Donald Trump's platform. The Illinois 3rd Congressional District represents a part of southwestern Chicago. And he has said, "I'm running for this office because I'm concerned about the future of our country. I am not now, nor have I ever been a follower of any political party, though I am a registered Republican." Which is kind of interesting because he was a real live, no kidding officer. A leader in the American Nazi Party. Now, to be fair, the Republican Party of Illinois has disavowed him. And the district he's running in is consistently returns Democrats to office. But the fact that he'll be on the ballot and the fact that he will get votes speaks to the state of right-wing party politics. White-wing party politics. First, we had a pedophile in Alabama. Now we've got a Nazi in Illinois. Just jot down his name. Arthur Jones. And see how long it takes for maybe geezer disgust us to accidentally retweet something about him, something good about him. Yes. Yeah, he's 70 years old, Silent R. Lamar. He missed World War II. 70 years old is born in 1948 now. So, right. Marty asking in regard to the economic questions. Anybody gotten their $4,000 raise yet? Not a one-time $1,000 bonus, but a pay raise? Hey, I know. Yeah, me and the little woman, we figured we'd use our raise to buy us, you know, spring's coming, and we figured we'd use our raise to go over there to the hunting store and buy us an entire summer wardrobe of camouflage MAGA shirts and camouflage MAGA pants and camouflage MAGA hats, and then we'll have our red MAGA hats for Sunday go to meeting. That's what you call economically stimulating. Mm-hmm. Marty was thinking of something along the same lines as I was. You got to wonder if maybe Arthur Jones might have been a prototype for the Nazi played by Henry Gibson in the Blues Brothers movies. I can't remember either. Was it Elwood saying it to Joliet Jake or Joliet Jake saying it to Elwood? I hate Illinois Nazis. That sounds kind of John Belushi, doesn't it? So, like I said, a lot of fun stuff to work with this evening. Somebody's having a pretty bad day these days over in the White House. You remember a couple of weeks ago when Raj Shah popped onto the radar of our political consciousness? Oh, what did that have to do with it? I think it was during the shutdown crisis. Had to do with immigration. Well, Raj Shah is having a tough time of it in the White House these days, because Raj Shah was not always a Trumpanzee. He's one of those Republicans of, let us say, malleable loyalties. And back when the Republican primaries were going on, Raj Shah was decidedly not trying to make America great again. Mm-mm. He was an old line Republican. And before he joined the administration, the regime, he had, more than a year before, referred to Donald J. Trump as a deplorable. Ooh, how about that? And when the Access Hollywood tape came out, in which the Carotene Caligula referred to or bragged about grabbing women by the pussy, Raj Shah said that the Access Hollywood tape was, quote, some justice, unquote. He tried to dig up an old embarrassing video clip of Trump, and lo and behold, it showed up in a Jeb Bush ad. One source speaking to New York Magazine said, "Holy shit! Plenty of people in the West Wing hate him right now. You hear them say things like, 'I'm serving the country.' That's code for, 'I hate the fucker.'" On the campaign, the former advisor said, "We all thought he was a moron. He's by no means a stupid guy, but he was such a pain in the ass and stubborn." Meanwhile, the White House is trying to take some of the sting out of it all by saying, "Well, you know, his superiors in the administration have been informed of his previous comments and actions." And then Hope Hicks, who has her own problems, you know, if she winds up going down in the Trump-Russia scandal, she might become a temporary West Virginian down at Alderson, just like Martha Stewart once was. But Hope Hicks, who is the communications director, no kidding. A year ago, she was selling shoes for Ivanka Trump, and now she's the communications director of the White House. Hooey! Merca! The greatest country in the history of the world on Earth, now today in the universe under God. Hope Hicks said, "Raj Shah is a talented operative and skilled communicator. We have always known about his previous roles and are so pleased he is using his unparalleled capabilities to advance the agenda of President Trump, whom he has tremendous respect for." That's the communications director of the White House, leaving that preposition dangling at the end of the sentence. Sorry, it just... Now, how difficult would that be? See, you can fix that because it is grading, and it's okay. You know, it's not a law or anything. It's just an indication that maybe somebody, you know, didn't spend a lot of time working on the art of word knowing somewhere along the way, because it's easy to fix. "To advance the agenda of President Trump, for whom he has tremendous respect." See how that works? "Whom he has tremendous respect for. Perhaps if the leakers trying to undermine him were as talented and smart as Raj,
they would be here fighting for the American people every day rather than trying desperately to remain relevant by spreading information that Raj himself shared many months ago. Raj's skills as a press secretary are only surpassed by his stellar character. I call that into doubt simply by virtue of the fact that he's working in that White House. Raj Shah is 33 years old. He was working for the Republican National Committee back in 2012. Back when he was, 27? But then he became the managing director of America Rising, LLC. America Rising, LLC proved to be a sort of farm team for the Jeb Please Clap Bush campaign. I remember when I thought Jebya was the was going to just, because he had that war chest and he was just going to steamroll everybody. And no, that's one of those things about which I was really decidedly wrong. He rejoined the RNC in February 2015, but it would seem he never quite diverged from his former colleagues who joined the Jeb! Exclamation point campaign in spirit. 6 months after Trump announced he was seeking the Republican nomination, Shah sent an email from his personal account to Andrew Hemming, a senior RNC researcher seeking anti-Trump opposition research. The subject line of the email was DAWG, D-A-W-G, and features a transcript of remarks Trump made in 2008 in praise of Barack Obama. And that's how that clip wound up in a pro-Jeb ad. Then they ran it again in a second ad. Here's what he had to say about the Access Hollywood tapes in another email to this Hemming character. He wrote, "You want to hear something a little fucked up?" And Hemming writes back, "Sure." Raj Shah says, "I'm kind of enjoying this, some justice. I honestly don't think it's the worst thing he's done, but he somehow got passes for the other acts." Trump, he said, is a deplorable. How about that? He spoke the truth. But speaking the truth is not the same thing as living the truth. And when it came right down to it, he was ready to cast his lot with the serial sexual assaulter. And it was Rince Priebus and Sean Spicer who pulled him into the orbit of the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. So I would imagine Raj is probably not having the best day. Too bad. And in all the Sturm und Drang over the stock market yesterday, it was easy to blow past the a little dust-up that Dolt 45 tried to engender once again with the UK. He's got a hang-up about them. They don't... I think he's deeply aggrieved at the fact that he knows that he's as hated there as he is here. Exactly. Grammar, as Carol Baker notes, is not a modern fucking game. So, wait a minute. I got a cowbell for that one. Carol noting simply, I wish he'd compensate for his embarrassing penis by buying a Ford F-150 like the rest of the rubes. Ain't that the... Get you some glass packs on it or make it a rolling coal diesel's power stroke. Power, see that... Really? Could yes, the Ford Power Stroke engine, Power Stroke diesel engine. Make it a rolling coal truck, and you know, just get to compensating, right? But for reasons known but to the spirochetes, Dope 45 decided to go after the fact that anybody who gets sick in the United Kingdom can go to the doctor and not have to declare bankruptcy immediately thereafter. For instance, if there was somebody like me in the United Kingdom, and every day the Queen gets up and says, oh, thank God there's no one like Bob Kincaid here in my delightful kingdom. Right. But if there was, that person would have long since been wheeled into an operating room. They would have trimmed a little off the top of his pancreas and figured out what the was wrong, making all that fluid build up around his spleen, and probably gotten his gallbladder out of the way, too, and sent him along upon his merry way there in the And Donald Trump hates that. I mean, it's not because he knows, but no. Donald's busy right now. He's probably taking his bath and forming up his rubber duck armada there in the great big huge Warren G. Harding. Not Herbert Hoover. William Howard Taft bathtub that they had to have reinstalled for his adipose ass in the White House. Yeah. But so no, he doesn't. No, he doesn't know about me. But it drives him batshit that the United Kingdom has a national health service where sick people get to go to the doctor, even if they're not wealthy. I know. Amazing. So. Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, of course. Like I said, he doesn't listen to this program. Fuck you, Donnie, if you do. Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda ran a package about the fact that winter and flu season is putting a strain on the UK's NHS. He immediately grabbed his phone and with his tiny little thumbs began tweeting away. And the result was this. The Democrats are pushing for universal health care while thousands of people are marching in the UK because their U system is going broke and not working. Dems want to greatly raise taxes for really bad and non-personal medical care. No thanks. Yes, please. Well, the health secretary of the UK, one Jeremy Hunt, immediately fired back, and he said he was proud of Britain's universal coverage. I may disagree with claims made on that march, but not one of them wants to live in a system where 28 million people have no cover.
NHS may have challenges, but I'm proud to be from the country that invented universal coverage, where all get care no matter the size of their bank balance.
Ooh, that's gonna sting. Meanwhile, somebody had to ask Theresa May about her thoughts on Trump's tweet, at which point Theresa May probably put her forehead into her right hand with her head downward in the classic pose of that meme of the guy saying, "Oh no, not this shit again." And a spokesperson said,
"The Prime Minister is proud of having an NHS that is free of the at the point of delivery. NHS funding is at a record high, prioritized in the fall budget with an extra £2.8 billion. That would be about $3.9 billion of your American dollars."
And this was one of those stunning moments of unity in the UK, because Jeremy Corbyn of the Loyal Opposition, he took to Twitter and said, "Wrong. People were marching because we love our NHS and hate what the Tories are doing to it. Healthcare is a human right." Which it is. The CNN story I'm looking at points out that while the system is somewhat stressed, and I'll add editorially that it's been stressed because of, austerity, a real case of the real neoliberalism, in which case it's appropriate to use that word, as opposed to the precious little cluelesses who use neoliberal to describe anybody who brings them a cold cup of coffee or any variety of other stuff, usually followed by the word shill. The system is stressed, and it's been stressed by conservatives in Great Britain. But here's the thing. The United Kingdom spends an average of $4,192 per subject of the crown. Life expectancy in the UK in 2015 was 81.56. 81 and a half years. Meanwhile, over here in the land of the free and the home of the broke, or brave, where we don't sing the third verse of the national anthem, the one with the lines about slaves in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't sing that. I really would. I think we should. You know what we need? We need a piece of congressional legislation. And you know what? Donald Trump would. You know the stupid fucker would sign it. We need a bill through the Congress requiring that at any event, sporting or otherwise, at any event at which the national anthem is played and sung, that it must be sung in its entirety. Because that would out more Klansmen. That would out more Trumpansies, more maggots, more Nazis. Than just about any other, it'd be like a duck call on the pond, and the maggots and the Trumpansies, and the Republicans and it, right, would all, the Klansmen and the neo Nazis would all just be cheering their lungs out at that third verse. But anyway, I digress. The UK's NHS yields up far better outcomes for a whole lot less money than the American for-profit system can ever hope to. In the United States, we spend $9,892 per person that we're spending it on. That excludes about 28 million people that we're not spending any money on. And life expectancy in the United States for the same year, 2015, is almost 4 total years lower at 78.7. But because he is dumber than a bag of hammer handles, Donald J. Trump thinks that the Democrats in the Congress are pushing a universal single-payer system. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a Medicare for All movement that's been going on, Jesus, since at least 2000, 2003. I mean, I remember when it was being touted by John Conyers and adopted by Dennis Kucinich in the 2004 Democratic primaries. And for the most part, that's what Bernie picked up and championed more recently. But to say that the Democrats, you know, as a universe are pushing for it, no. We would be far off by far better if they were. And some are, and they get my respect. And some are of the opinion that we at least need to keep what we've got and try to expand it as opposed to letting the Republicans just take health care away from more tens of millions of Americans and consign them to a grim and dusty death. I know. Exactly. Marty says, imagine how long Stephen Hawking would have lasted here with his ALS. Well, we don't need more of them pointy-headed, egg-head... Can you be pointy-headed and egg-headed at the same time? I don't know. Intellectuals like Stephen Hawking. We need salt, good salt of the earth, hard-working, murking men with dirty hands and grease on their elbows to make America great again. Yep. I hate channeling that MAGA fucker. It's almost too easy, though. Can't be helped. So that's just a few of the things that captured my attention over the course of the day. What's on your mind is an entirely different matter. You can, of course, share whatever it is that's on your mind, and it will be welcomed into what we call here Conversation Radio. We love new first-time callers. And in fact, yesterday I think I saw a couple of first-time contributors, and that's exciting. So if you've never called a radio program, and you know you're not a maggot or one of those Jill can win types, you're welcome to participate in Conversation Radio here. I think you'll enjoy it. I almost guarantee you'll enjoy it. Other fun stuff that's out there. Tammy Duckworth is making herself a name for trolling geezer disgust us. The latest, of course, being his treason comment of yesterday, in which he declared that it is treason for someone not to clap for him whenever he says whatever awful, see what I did there? Awful, A-W-F-U-L, awful, O-F-F-A-L, is spewing out of his gob. Having been accused of treason yesterday by Marcus Aurelius, not specifically, not by name, but generally, because Democrats wouldn't clap for him, and that constitutes treason in whatever is left of his mind that the spirochetes haven't yet fully consumed. Tammy Duckworth took to Twitter and said, "We don't live in a dictatorship or a monarchy. I swore an oath in the military and in the Senate to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, not to mindlessly cater to the whims of cadet bone spurs and clap when he demands I clap." Good for you, Tammy Duckworth. I'm sure, Senator, that you are sorely lacking in ideological purity. But damn, it's nice to see somebody talking back against that little piece of shit in the White House. Cadet bone spurs seems to be sticking. Oh, yes. She went on and said, "I spent my entire adult life looking out for the well-being, the training, the equipping of the troops for whom I was responsible. I will not be lectured about what our military needs by a 5 deferment draft dodger." That was during the shutdown debate last month. I wonder if she would be willing to say things like that to his face. And I wonder if anybody, I wonder if the White House is terrified that she might. Not a whole lot of bravery there in the White House. So, by the way, it's time we should take our break. It is Tuesday. It is the 6th of February, 2018. That means we've got the Green News Report, courtesy of Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, "Come on, Bob, Duckworth deserves a cowbell for Cadet Bone Spurs." Well, I thought we already cowbelled that, but yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Today is the birthday, as Ron and Raleigh points out, of Bob Marley. Bob Marley, born this day in 1945. He would be 73 years old today, if I've got my ciphering right. Wish he was still around. Man, he died young. But with that in mind, I'm in agreement with Ron and Raleigh that, in fact, it's more than appropriate to note his life with this evening's bumper. And, you know, as the goddess of irony would have it, I saw an earlier tweet today. Apparently, this is Jason Isbell's 6th anniversary of his sobriety. That works out nicely. celebrate your sobriety on the birthday of Bob Marley. Well, now, that is... That is good. Now, what in the hell? Somehow I got signed out of Skype. But I'm back in now, so if you want to participate in conversation after the break, you're welcome to jump in. Again, 304-574-8178. Or, from anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, get you into the program. And like I said, we love first-time callers. This is an easy place to have your first call, assuming you're not some white-winged turd. Because they're just flat not allowed here. And, yeah, we had $270 to raise at the beginning of the program. And I can tell you that we remain at $270 for the evening in order to keep on track for the month of February, and so that we can have fundraising free radio at the end of the month. 270, and well, we'll see what happens. No challenge on the table. It's just 270. Sorry. Can't be a challenge every night. But 10 at 27, 27 at 10. PayPal, U.S. Postal Service. By the way, the mailing address, of course, The Horn, for checks and money orders made payable to The Horn, not Bob Kincaid. I never see him. This is all what Boss Man Wayne does. The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, W-V 25801. So we'll take a break, come back, and see which way the program's going to go. I'm Bob.
Jump by my side. We're jumping. jamming with you. We're jamming, 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 we're jamming. Hope you like jamming too. We're jamming, we're jamming, we're jamming, we're jamming, jamming. I wanna jam with you now. We're jamming, we're jamming.
Hope you like jamming too.
Hey, and I hope you like jamming. I hope you like jamming. I hope you like a jamming too. I wanna jam it.
It's Tuesday, February 6, 2018.
I do not have any kind of expertise or even much layman's study of the climate change issues.
Trump withdraws nomination of climate science denier to top environmental post.
It is dry in Southern California, and we've got a drought going now, and it's not going to get any better anytime soon.
Drought returns with a vengeance to California and the Southern U.S., ExxonMobil pulled in an extra $8 billion in profits thanks to the Republicans' tax cut. Plus, California's governor hits the accelerator on a statewide electric vehicle network.
All of that electrifying news and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
It seems to me that you don't believe climate change is real.
I am uncertain.
You're uncertain.
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead of my climate change is of course real.
Nailed it. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, this lady, Kathleen Hartnett White, was actually nominated by the White House to advise them on environmental quality?
Yes, that's right. And now her nomination has been withdrawn by the Trump White House. She was supposed to lead the White House Council on Environmental Quality. Former Texas environment official Kathleen Hartnett White got considerable backlash for her previous comments denying climate science and the benefits of pollution regulations. And in her Senate confirmation hearing back in November, her blatant lack of scientific expertise led even some Senate Republicans to question her ability to lead that science policy office. Here she is in an exchange with Democratic Senator and climate hawk Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island.
Do you think that if the ocean warms, it expands? Does the law of thermal expansion apply to seawater?
Again, I do not have any kind of expertise or even much layman's study of the ocean dynamics and the climate change issues.
In other words, she's saying that she doesn't even know the basic scientific concept of whether water expands when it warms.
So I'm inclined to ask, how the hell was she nominated at all to an environmental post by the Trump administration? But I think we know the answer to that. Maybe the bigger question is, how the hell was she ever an environmental official in Texas?
Well, Texas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And at the time, Rick Perry was the governor.
Indeed. And as if to underscore the necessity of science-based policy in preparing for climate impacts, Cape Town, South Africa, on the precipice of being the first major city in the world to run out of water due to the worst drought in more than 100 years. City officials this week have cut in half the individual daily water allowance for the city's 4 million residents, but they have put off day zero until May, for now, thanks to cuts in agricultural allotments to farms.
Day zero, meaning the day they run out of water in Cape Town, South Africa, completely?
That's right.
Man.
In other news, thanks to that deficit-exploding tax cut passed by Republicans and signed by Donald Trump, ExxonMobil is going to pull in nearly $7 billion in extra profits this year. According to the Houston Chronicle, Exxon's fourth quarter profits for 2017 more than quadrupled over the same period last year. year, boosted by the tax cut bill, despite an overall decline in Exxon's actual oil production. Without the tax cuts, Exxon's fourth quarter profits would have fallen below this time last year.
Profits would have fallen, but they would still be making huge profits, whether they had gotten smaller or not.
Indeed, they would.
And now they're getting huger again.
Yes, they are.
Congratulations, ExxonMobil.
Back to California, it's headed into another drought, according to federal officials, as precipitation has fallen far below normal during what is supposed to be the state's rainy season, with snowpack near historic lows that were set during the state's historic drought back in 2015. The U.S. Drought Monitor also reported that drought has returned with a vengeance to nearly half of the United States. 40% of the nation is now in moderate to severe drought, with the worst conditions hitting the southern and western parts of the country. But finally, some good news for California. Governor Jerry Brown has issued an executive order greatly expanding the state's electric vehicle infrastructure, tapping billions of dollars in revenue raised from polluting industries in the state's cap-and-trade emissions program. California will now invest $2.5 billion to build 250,000 charging stations and 200 hydrogen refueling stations by 2025. They'll also increase consumer rebates for pollution-free electric vehicles, with a goal of reaching 5 million zero-emissions vehicles in the state by 2030. At least 35% of the investments are designated for low-income communities.
Nice. Come on out to California. Enjoy an electric car, but please bring your own water. For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
You can check out anytime you like.
You know, the microphone works a lot better when you actually punch the right button to turn it on. Just saying. Yeah, I've been at this for about, 14 years, and we'll get it right someday. That's why they call it practicing. No, we don't really call this practicing. Anyway, this is the Horn Titanic Tuesday for the 6th day of February, 2018. I'm Bob, and over on the telephone, a call comes in from far Wisconsin. Hey, welcome to the program. Yo, you're on the air.
Am I on the air?
You're on the air,
Brother Bob.
Brother Albert, it's the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. Yes.
I didn't even hear the click. You're getting high tech, Brother Bob. It's been too long.
Actually, it's low tech. You only got the click back when we still had a Comrex.
Oh. Well. Look at us now.
Aren't we just so happy?
For as terrible as it is, which it is, and there's no denying that. I remember our phone calls, and many, many phone calls for many, many years, and we would always kind of get to this point where, is it bad enough?
Nope, cable's still.
Is it bad enough yet?
Nope, cable's still on.
Yeah. Brando's still in the fridge,
It's what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
That mask they keep trying to throw back on is just, that's an impossible task. There's no way they can ever do it again. I can't even keep up. I mean, we all know life gets busy, life gets hectic, life changes, but every day it's 50,000 outrages. And, you know, pick your points and what you want to get outraged about. I mean, I myself am lifted by, A, your endurance. But, and I think maybe part of what may kind of keep you going is,
Wait, you lost me there for a minute, Albert. Your endurance, is that another bullshit nutritional supplement?
No, that's, it could be.
From Horn Nutraceuticals, your endurance.
Oh, your endurance, yeah, that works too. But no, I mean, what can you say that, I mean, at least in the Trump days, they were participating.
You mean
these
the Bush days
of Trump? Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. Trump won days. Yeah, you miss him yet? Oh my God, Bob, what is going on?
Curiously enough, no, I don't. And
yeah,
now that we've got this day in Horn history. Every evening, I'm reminded of people I don't miss, like, you know, Count Dicula and Rumfield. You know, it's like we had a little 8-year interregnum of modest sanity
with a right wing temper tantrum nonstop, ceaseless outrage. And the one thing that we have going for us is, besides getting their idiots to vote and whatever else they did to get where they're at, they're really, really bad at what they do. Oh, I mean, they're only worse by the, you know, the only people worse than them are the Democrats, but they're really bad at what they do in terms of, you know, trying to pretend to be human. I mean, well, I mean, where does it start? From rape insurance in Texas to rape insurance. I mean, Bob, I can't even put my finger on, you know, it's like a dream. You go
or,
to
well,
stick
the,
your hand
there's
on
the,
it,
the,
it's
the
something
NRA,
new. And,
yeah, the NRA's murder insurance. There's that, Brother Albert. We'll cover you if you shoot someone when the gun just goes off.
And, you know, curses to Obama for what he did to the stock market for the past 2 weeks.
Oh,
I mean...
That, you know, his Kenyan Muslim, you slurper wizard powers are mickle powerful, Albert.
Oh, my God. And, you know, not clapping for dear leaders, treason.
But you might could be some help here. I mean, you're actually in Wisconsin. Yeah. That's the question I asked at the beginning of the program. What the fuck was Paul Ryan into last night that he was so bloody-eyed? I mean, I wouldn't have, if I'd been his chief of staff, I'd have gone, "Nah, Mr. Speaker, I don't think you want to go out in public right now. Here, try these sunglasses." I mean, there were nights many, many, many years ago at places like the Niobingi Dance Hall in Morgantown, West Virginia, when you know, having watched a really good Grateful Dead cover band maybe a Bob Marley tribute band. I would look like that at the end of the evening. I mean, where, you know, your little blue eyes are just road maps, just red lines over white. But I wasn't the speaker of the fucking house, Albert, okay?
Do you think Paul, we all know what kind of cannibal Paul Ryan is, but I still think he obviously cares about his image. And I don't think he's willing to go to the depths of Donald Trump, which is why he has to look for something, anything, the most snaggled thin root to hang on to, so he doesn't fall off the cliff with the rest of them, because, you know, self-interest.
Well, but he's getting his fondest adolescent wet dreams right now. I mean,
he
bragged about how he would stand around the keg in college and dream of the day when he could take Granny's Social Security away from her.
Yep.
I mean, that's
all for me, none for you.
Yeah. And by the way, you're getting fan mail. Earther just dropped a note and said, "Brother Albert, yay. Also, where have you been? Where have you been?
Where have I been? Where have I been? Well, my harmonious little life that I had when I was a stay-at-home dad kind of fell apart and went through a divorce and going through a custody battle and been, you know, I just had to put poor dear old Gonzo down.
I saw that, man.
Here Friday.
There are actually archival recordings of Gonzo barking in the background somewhere back there.
Well, they get too close to his babies, you know. He loved his babies, you know. And, yeah, I'll tell you, though, it's he was bright-eyed. His body just failed him. He just couldn't hang on anymore.
Yeah, how old was he?
13.
Golly Moses, yeah.
So, yeah, he was a good boy. The best dog ever. But, and, you know, life has been, you know, and it's been, you know, for a while I was working nights at Organic Valley, who, while they do have a good product and they do pay their farmers well, oh, they're going to get eaten up alive. These people are, I'm going to start boring people on that kind of stuff. I actually got fired from there because I was sort of I was a supervisor, and I would have my guys coming to me, and, you know, and I'm an empathetic person. So when I see, you know, people upset, when I see people, you know, I want to see what are you upset about? Hang on, I want to say, hey, buddy. So I wanted to see what they were upset about. And, you know, 8 times out of 10, there was something regarding work and some system that was inefficient and causing people, you know, extra work and, you know. You can do it once or twice, but, you know, you do it 500 times, it starts to, you know, eat the soul away. And so I wound up getting promotion after promotion, and I got put onto a ambassador program. I was on the D.C. culture. I was a chair of a D.C. culture committee. And, you know, what it was is companies like that start expanding. They start pulling resources from the rest of corporate America. And when you have a mission that's talking about, you know, organic this and so on and so forth, at least with me, that comes with a certain cachet of, well, these are sacred things, and workers' rights and how your people are treated is in primary.
Well,
I mean,
you know what, you're pointing out, and by the way, there goes that Organic Valley advertising contract. Damn it.
Sorry about that.
No worries. But you're pointing to something, Albert, that's very real in industries that we really hope are going to be the future of this country. It doesn't take long to start. It doesn't take a very deep dive into the Google to start finding stories about how shabbily workers are treated at, say, Tesla Motors.
Yeah.
And you know, there was Brad and Desi, come on out to California and drive an electric car.
Well, one's going to be on Mars, so that'll be a cool tourist destination if we ever get our asses in gear.
Yeah, I don't care about a Tesla on Mars. I want one in West Virginia in my driveway.
Well, I don't think, you know, and I think, you know, I not for nothing, you know, I kind of called that. I think that's going to become inevitable. You know, I mean, I know Donald Trump invented clean coal, and he does think it's quite beautiful, and you know, but reality, we all know the reality of it, and it's not coming back. You know, he can pull out of the Paris Accords, and it doesn't matter because it's not coming back. Organic Valley can try to play the game that they try to play, where they let all these corporate middle management pukes that learned everything they learned from Walmart and Kohl's and so on and so forth, but they're not going to be able to maintain what they do.
But there's a,
you know,
big
you're
da-
not
but
gonna...
there, no, but there's a big damn difference, Albert, between retail.
Yeah.
And you know, running something like a food production organization. Isn't there?
Mm.
I mean, I walk in, I mean, you mentioned Kohl's, and of course it amazed me the first time when I walked into Kohl's over in Beckley and I saw a bottle of fresh, pure, clean Wisconsin water for sale for like, you know, $3 on the impulse purchase rack there in front of the cash register. And that's when I drew the, oh, Herb Kohl, son of a bitch. Okay. But you walk in there, and there's nobody there. I mean, you could, because see, I'm so old. I come from an era when working retail meant that there were people who worked in specific departments who really knew their stuff, and and probably, given the size of the community where you were in, knew you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they knew where that blue and sweater it's not, it's, inside.
And it's,
yeah.
not just, it's not just Kohl's. It's like Belk's is another another department store in the greater Beckley area, the greater Beckley Metroplex. And you could, I mean, you can walk in the door and be halfway through the store before you see the first employee. And if you've got questions or you want to know something about a product or, you know, where's the try-on room? You're going to be involved in a 5 minute five minute process just trying to get the answer, at least.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, the old paradigm, even, you know, the old paradigm is dying. And I think, you know, I mean, just to finish off the story and organic value, not that I don't want to bore you, but what wound up happening is, you know, like we sell, you know, that place sold $7 gallons of milk. Now that's $7 a gallon. Were they good? Yeah. Did they last a long time? Sure. Quality standards are very high. They paid their farmers an incredible rate. So the farmers were getting a lot of money for what they were doing. The problems kind of boiled down to the inefficiencies in some of the programs and how it actually made the blue collar workers of that co-op handle. And they were so deathly afraid of unions that I became a target, not because I advocated for unions. I just advocated for all the things unions would advocate for. So I became kind of an enemy to some, and to the higher up. The higher ups loved me, but the middle management really, really hated me because I would say things like, instead of the barcode technology, I mean, the inefficiencies and such things, it's just short-sightedness. The short-sightedness of putting a system in for $20 million that was built for an RFID tag and then using bar tags because you don't want to pay the extra $200 for the reader. In a world of today's, you know, in a world of today where everything has to be quick, everything has to be, you know, efficient, all things have to be accounted for, you know, and then, you know, plus people's quality of life has to be considered. You know, barcode means 45% more work, you know, just things like that, you know? So yeah, they wound up letting me go. And, you know how I am, you know, I see ya. You know, I mean, I got paid a little bit of unemployment there, but you know, life hasn't been, you know, life hasn't been bad to me, but it's, you know, it's not easy. As you know, you've been here, it's kind of, it's a desolate area. You know, our coal mines are farms and maple syrup groves. So it's not really Albert's wheelhouse of things to do. I got some stuff on the burner. I'm running around. I might even wind up in your neck of the woods one day here doing some storm restoration. But the reality is I've been more busy than ever, and I do miss you guys. And I haven't been completely out of touch, but I know I haven't been calling, and I, you know, I'm sorry.
Well, there are people who have never heard you before, Albert. Hi. This is Brother Albert. We used to have many long conversations in which, you know, that's how you came to be the sage of Southwest Wisconsin, talking about that that beautiful day when every roof would have a solar array on it, and we wouldn't be tied to coal-fired power grids.
Yeah.
And you know what? We were kind of, you know, there was a lot of pushback from Republicans.
There.
We were trundling along, but
hey,
not now.
Brother Bob, just to speak on that, you know, one of my favorite subjects there is, you know, sustainable civilization. You know, we got up to, I believe, 4%. 4% of the United States energy grid was solar. Organic Valley had a couple of windmills up, and then they quickly realized with the drop in solar prices that they were going to transition to solar. And in fact, I think they're going to start branching into it. So, you know, you might not ever get a Tesla roof on your wall because of them fancy slate and Spanish tile roof, you know, ever sold out, I think, till 2022 by now. But, and they're only in California at the moment. But, you know, you might have an Organic Valley solar panel, sort of German lease program thing that they have kind of going on, which will subsidize your electricity. And, you know, I don't know who would complain about having an electricity bill of $0 and 0 cents. So, and while at the same time you enjoy all your beautiful electricity. So, beautiful, clean electricity. Anyway, I don't have a Trump voice down. I can't do it.
Wait, I can handle it.
It's just,
beautiful, clean solar power.
You gotta pop some heads with that. That's too much. He'd never see some shit like that.
No.
God, that guy. God, this guy. And that's the other thing. I'm not even gonna. This guy. Everybody knows what kind of joke this freaking guy is, except his supporters. And it really is. It really is not something that I just can't. Not on my first call in a long time, brother. But,
no, I understand.
I can't melt down that far.
You're getting welcome backs all over the place. Here's a welcome back from James writing in email wise. Ron in the far frozen north up in Canada says,
Canada.
One of the corporate drivers that usually bites growing companies in the ass, especially publicly traded companies, is that you have to always show growth. It actually comes before profitability because most people who buy growth stocks are betting on the come. No company ever seems to say, we're big enough. If we get any bigger, we won't be able to do things to the standards that got us to here.
Yep.
And you know, that's entirely a result of the kind of culture we have on Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
Other companies in other countries don't have those problems. The idea that you're going to be profitable mm-hmm. over a long time and that you're not going to just ride a roller coaster, that doesn't exist. That doesn't exist on Wall Street. Got to be now.
Yeah. I mean, it's the death throes. This is the death. I'd like to be thinking that, you know, when this one finally, this is the one. This is the big one. But we all saw what Bush did. We overheated everything, got out of the world, blah, 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 blah. I mean, Bush is an amateur in terms of chaos. And not that he's doing it on purpose. I kind of believe he's just this fucking retarded. Sorry. You know, he is. You know, that's a New York thing. We say retarded. He's stupid.
Yeah. There.
He, you know, to sit there and, you know, talk about, I mean, thermonuclear weapons, why can't we use them?
Well, and I don't know if you saw it today, but the other little moment, he's had it on the brain to the extent there's a brain to have it on for a while now. Yeah. I mean, he's had a burr under his saddle because he wants his very own great big military parade, Albert.
Oh, mm-hmm.
He wanted one at the inauguration. I mean, he wants. I guess he'll want a Kremlin wall to stand on pretty soon so he can mm-hmm. watch the missiles roll by. Somehow or another, he's humiliated by the fact that Kim Jong Bad Golf Pants has those parades and Pooty Poot, who would never hurt a fly, has those parades and he can't mm-hmm. have a parade. And it only made bad matters worse when he went to France for Bastille Day. And the French, the French, for fuck's sake, have big military parades, and he can't. So, son of a gun! For the longest time, you know, over like the past year, they've said, no, Don, you know, you can't have one of those. We don't just have a bunch of nukes laying around that we can drag down Pennsylvania Avenue for you every time you're feeling inadequate because melanoma locked the door again. We can't. But now, lo and behold, they're getting closer to it. And anonymous sources are telling the Washington Post that, well, here's the paragraph. Surrounded by the military's highest-ranking officials, including Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, Joint Chiefs Chairman General Joseph F. Dunford, Jr., Trump's seemingly abstract desire for a parade was suddenly heard as a presidential directive. The marching orders were,
yeah.
I want a parade like the one in France, said a military official who spoke on condition of anonymity because of the planning discussions supposed to remain confidential. This is being worked at the highest levels of the military. Now, here's the thing. It's going to cost a blue umpty bajillion dollars to do this for him, just to make his withered old member jump like a snake in a microwave. Okay, that's all this is, and we'll probably wind up spending a few umpty bajillion dollars making him happy so he can wave at the fucking missiles.
Well, cost isn't an option for, you know, Corporal Burns Bone Spurs. This guy is. I mean, how much money has he spent on golf? Well, actually, how much money has the U.S. government paid him for him to go golfing in his own resorts? I mean, the beautiful thing, and you know, is how quickly such masses of people see exactly what's happening. It doesn't take someone, you know, it doesn't take a horny where, you know, back in the day when we all felt alone. There's a lot of us now. There's so many of us now. Like when you see the comments on YouTube, you could just enjoy the evisceration performed by dozens of other people. They're, you know, and this is, and I say Facebook and these things because this is where people are. This is where these discourses are happening. It's almost like this is the streets where we have our discourse. So, I mean, these guys just can't hold water. They can't make a freaking meme. They can't do, they can't even tell a single truth. So, and then it gets exposed so quickly, and the videos come out within minutes. I don't understand, you know, I mean, and I don't want to pin our hopes on what Robert Mueller's going to say, but my God.
Yeah, because see, my this, God, this would be, but this would be a moment out. Yeah. People need to understand this. Not that, I mean, the Horn Community Congregation family it knows, but
yeah,
it's worth mentioning.
Yeah.
We keep saying, you know, Mueller's going to do the report and everything, and all things will be.
Yeah. Well, I want to see. Yeah.
Yeah, but that report never sees the light of day unless Rod Rosenstein authorizes its release. I don't care what's in it. How sobering is that?
Well, yeah.
Meanwhile, back to Geezer discussed us at the parade. It was one of the greatest parades I've ever seen, he said about the parade in France. It was 2 hours on the button, and it was military might, and I think a tremendous thing for France and for the spirit of France. We're going to have to try to top it. He's in a dick measuring contest over parades.
He's a child. He is just a child.
He's a dangerous child.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's very dangerous. Yeah, he's stupid. He's cocksure. He's just, the ego is just unhinged. He is, the beautiful thing is though, is that he's ugly. It's a beautiful thing how ugly he is.
Well, I think we can go back to working working some of the images we used to work in the past. Albert, he's a Harkonnen.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, he's oh.
Oh yes, Mr. Trump, your delightful disgustingness thrills me.
Oh, your beautiful disease-riddled skin, Baron. Oh, good. Oh, good. I mean, and it's like, it's real. It's real. I mean, there's actually, they did a juxtaposition. I have it somewhere. I'll send it to you later. There is it, and it's Trump. I mean, granted, it's Harkonnen, but it's Trump. And he is, yeah.
Well,
he
in
is
the movie,
I mean,
even
thought,
the Harkonnen was kind of orange.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he didn't even walk. He floated around. You know, I mean... But
I want one of those anti-grav suspensor belts. Invent one tomorrow.
You know, I mean, the nice thing is they're just, well, they don't believe in science. You know, you heard.
I want to be able to float. I want to be able to float to the. I want to be able to float to the presidential party when the Big Mac kicks in.
Oh God, I can't believe this is real. I can't believe this is where we're at. But I think this is how deep we have to go to wake people up.
You're a little younger than me.
A little bit.
And it's got to be. I mean, it's got to be weird. We were talking some last night, Scott and Punky and I, about the fact that, you know, as people of a certain age, we have to be careful because we don't want to sound like a bunch of McCain's yelling, "Get off my lawn," and screaming at clouds. But I don't, you know, what? You're what? You're in your 40s now, right?
I just turned 40. Yep.
Yeah. What does the world look like to you compared to what it looks like to me? You know, we were talking last night about the fact that, you know, I was 10 years old, 11 years old, coming home from baseball practice when the Watergate hearings were on.
Okay.
And I was lucky to have parents who were explaining things to me. It often began with that no good son of a bitch Nixon, but that's only because he was.
True.
But you don't necessarily have that. And so
I have the dichotomy.
You know, you've got Reagan. You've got Reagan in your infancy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, Clinton in your teen 20 somethings. So
yeah.
I mean, if you're young and looking at a future that could include the biggest part of this century, what does the biggest part of this century hold, Albert?
As I said, I can move forward to where it's I have a dichotomy. I have that we are outraged. We do something about it, either ballot box or what have you. I mean, honestly, one of the scariest things that I could think of is then Pence becoming president, or Paul Ryan. But, you know, I think if we don't, and I don't up and take control over this car, over this train of civilization, you know, and we know where we can go. We can go to Star Trek. We can go. We can do these things if we did it, if we just would do them, you know, and realize that, you know, it's not about how much money we have. Money is not real. If we realize these things and you know, put technology where technology belongs, and, you know, make it for the betterment of all humanity. If we would step to our higher selves and get this civilization right, then maybe it'd be a beautiful thing, and I can't wait to see it. But then, of course, the other side of that is, well, human extinction. We have the clathrate gun currently going off. It's dumping, you know, it's already doubled the concentration of methane in the atmosphere. We have a guy in office who thinks it's a Chinese hoax. I hope he doesn't really think that, but he says that, and his followers believe that. And then we have to, you know, it just goes on and on and on. And to sum it up, it's human extinction. And then this planet will, you know, rehabilitate over 20,000 years, and you know, maybe the lemurs get a turn.
Yeah, I'm guessing more like a million years, but you know, it's going to take 300,000 years for every blown up mountain in Appalachia to become a viable part of a functioning ecological system. I mean, that's fact.
Blink of an eye in geological terms.
Well, it is, we're not even the first muscle twitch of a single blink as a species.
Not even close. You know, it would be nice if we got our shit in gear and we, you know, You know, I mean, and you know, and we all, I think we all know what kind of things we need to do in order to do that. We have to liberate ourselves from, you know, the ignorance of, you know, the past. And that goes, I mean, that goes across so many different spectrums, but, you know, you got one group trying to be, you know, pull us back to the 1700s and another group trying to hold the status quo. And I think millennials, hopefully they give me a lot of hope, you know, in the younger generations, I guess I'm now a zennial, whatever that means. But, you know, I think it's coming down to a reckoning. It's going to come down to a clash of generations. And I think the millennials, if they really do care about their future and they do not want to see, you know, human extinction, then, you know, I mean, there has to be like a legit revolution. I mean, it has to be, and it doesn't have to be violent. It just has to be a revolution. It has to be a revolution of thought. It has to be a revolution. And I think we're seeing it happen. You know, look at how quickly the Me Too thing, and look at how quickly this, and look at how quickly that. I mean, these things are happening in the right way. I mean, it's almost, it feels like while, I don't, it's like this is a fake dam. This feels like a canal. And I don't think this canal can hold the weight of progress back. I think everything they're going to do is just to show that, once again, put the final stamp on, this is not the right way. This is simply to put a 30% tariff on solar panels. What are you doing? Like, you know, what are you going to do for the 80,000 people that get laid off from that sector, which is still more than there are coal miners in the country? What are you going to do when you're sitting? I mean, it's like, and that's not all the solar workers. The whole solar industry isn't going to collapse. But it's going to have to pull back. It's going to have to restrict, you know. It's like this guy is just, you know, I maybe he's a blessing. I don't know.
I can't go there.
Because the reason why I have to go there, Bob, because if he's not, then we're done. At least, and I'm not trying to be, I don't even want to be fatalistic about it. I don't want it to be. But if we don't learn the lessons from this, we're not, I don't even know if we've got time for another chance. But if we don't learn the lessons from this, there is no other chance. This is it.
You know, it's fascinating to me, Albert, because you're touching on themes that we've been touching on here. And I don't think you were listening Friday, and I don't think you were listening last night. But
I did actually listen last night, but
But you know, you just used that phrase, and I put it on the table Friday. What do we mean when we say we're done? Because you just used the very phrase that a bunch of people are using. If we can't fill in the blank, we're done.
We're done.
And
if we cannot get, yeah.
The thing is, what continues to scare me the most is the gradual nature of the change. You know, if you, and I think this speaks to the way that our country has changed over time. I know you and I have talked about this in the past, so I'm going to use it as an example.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of togetherness as a country. It has been famously pointed out that before the Civil War, the proper grammar was the United States are, and after the Civil War, it became the United States is, from plural to singular. And then in the Second World War, with rationing and ration books and stamps and red cents, you know, those little phony plastic, little phony whatever they were, pennies.
Bakelite.
Is that what they were? Yeah, probably.
Maybe.
There was a collective sense that everybody had a part to play in saving the world from the rise of global fascism.
Mm-hmm.
And people like Ron Paul, who probably to this day still tells the story of the heroic butcher in Pittsburgh when he was a kid who violated the ration rules and would sell beef on the black market that was needed for, you know, some hungry-ass Marine in the South Pacific. Mm. He was an outlier. okay? Mm-hmm. That was considered unpatriotic and possibly even treasonous, but Ron Paul, libertarian, viewed that as heroism. Like I said, that was an outlier back then, okay? Move forward into the present, and now that's almost a mainstream majority view. Okay, that this idea that the government would say that you can't sell, you know, you can only sell, people can only buy X amount of this or that because we're trying to win a fucking war here and we are all in this together. You know, dipshit Donnie had those blithering remarks last week about unity, to which I responded, no, I'm sorry, I'll not be engaging any goddamn unity with any goddamn Klansmen and goddamn Nazis. I will not. But by by the same token, the problem extends, Brother Albert, over into all sectors of society. And here's an example. A tornado blows through Alabama. And there are a lot of people on ostensibly our side of this debate who'll say, yeah, goddamn bunch of rednecks got blown away, bunch of Trumpansies. I'm guilty of it, okay? You know, coal miner gets killed today in northern West Virginia when a hunk of coal rolls loose from the rib and just crushes his ass. And there's somewhere out there, there's somebody on our side who's saying, well, that's what it gets for voting for Trump and rolling back all those regulations, all those safety regulations. And the other side does it too. Okay.
Oh well.
I love liberal tears. I can't tell you how many times a day I see that fucking meme. Okay. And so this is a country that is reveling in the misfortune of the other side. All right.
Oh, true. Yeah. Well, it's sports
and,
now.
And we laugh. And I remember what's her name? Alexandra Pelosi, filmmaker, who on the behalf of Bill Maher went to Mississippi and found the most ridiculously ignorant white people she could point a camera at, including the hoarder guy who was living in a shack full of junk, and said, well, I might be rich someday.
Yep. It hasn't worked yet, but it might. But it hasn't worked yet.
But it might.
Yeah, no, I'll never forget that. That's, I mean, and a country
that cannot look at itself and say, you know, we united we stand, divided we, you know, if we do not hang together, we shall surely hang separately. That's one of those for me. That's one of those mileposts on the road to, as you said a few minutes ago, we're done.
We're done. Yeah. I mean, I don't even think it's not just the United States. I mean, thankfully, the rest of the world is taking a lot of the problems, the massive problems that humanity, I mean, not that they're all perfect, but they're at least taking a lot of these things seriously. And I think, once again, you know, this is back. I mean, remember we had this conversation. You know, we had this conversation back when Kerry lost. And, you know, I was salty as fuck. I mean, it was like, you don't see what Bush is doing. And I didn't see what Bush is doing. I think way more people now see what Trump is doing. I mean, I think, you know, the numbers just point to it. And I mean, you want to change it? Great. I want to change it. So, you know, what's the problem here? The problem here is, well, we still got, 50% of the American population that can vote. So we need, and, you know, a lot of people that say outraged, they didn't vote. It makes me want to smack them with a wrench, but they didn't vote. So, you know, I mean, what could we do? Well, we could tell everybody, vote, vote, vote. Tell them why. Every time they're crying about, oh, I'm in pain now, blah, 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 blah. Well, this is why. You know, I mean, people that know why people are getting affected the way they do, they have a responsibility to tell them, this is why you're being affected this way. The nice thing, we have truth, so we don't really, you know, we can tell them, we can fire and forget. We don't got to worry like the Republicans, although the Republicans lie so much, it doesn't matter. But, you know, we don't have to sit here and, you know, they, like, once people see it, once you see it, You can't unsee it. And I think, you know, can we get through to the 35%, you know, citadel of Republican ignorance?
See, that's
and hatred.
No, I don't either. But the problem, Albert, is that any party that starts at 35% and only has to come up with another 15% is way miles out in front of a party that has to start at zero or 20% or something like that. It makes the hill steeper. As human beings or some human beings respond more to their bigotries and their biases, and maybe that's a human trait and not a Republican trait, than they do to science, common sense, reasoning, understanding. And so if I walk up to a maggot, you know, morons are governing America, trumpansy scum, the maggots.
Yep.
If I walk up to one of them and I say, yeah, but see, if you vote for that brown-skinned female for president, there's a chance your life will get better, whereas right now it's getting worse.
Oh, Brother Bob, when I was saying to advocate, I'm basically saying to make sure that everyone you know is voting. I mean,
here's my problem, Albert. Where I live, everybody I knew voted. You know who they voted for? Yelling with you. You understand?
No, I know. Yeah, I take it personal. I mean, I get it. And so that's your cherry grove.
I mean, I walked. Agnes and I walked into the polling place in November 2016, and who knew that these hillbillies were into show tunes? They were standing there singing "The Future Belongs to Us." I mean, Jesus. I'm being a smartass, but
yeah, I don't think they know those things. But
you know, with a kazoo and a banjo. Yeah.
Right. All I'm really saying is, you know, and it sucks that we have the Democratic people that we do, because you know, now we're talking another shutdown, and to me, of course, Trump wants another shutdown. You know, he. You know, what's his name? Schumer caved in 3 days. Then they wonder why Democrat people that would vote for Democrats are just not inspired to go vote. I know we have more people, we have more votes. We just need to get people out to vote, and we know, you know, one party is kind of bad at getting people out to vote, and the other party is really good at getting people to not be able to.
But here's the trick that goes with that, Albert. On our side, we have to get people out to vote the same way. The other side, the Trumpansies, don't have the equivalent of a Caitlin Johnstone, writing bizarre... Right. Pseudo fake lefty crap about a bizarre fake lefty candidate in the form of, say, you know, Jill Stein. They don't have one of those. Okay, the closest that the Republicans had to a Jill Stein was a guy, a former New Mexico governor, who really didn't know where he was at any given time. Okay.
Yeah, he really made pot. He made really made cannabis consumers look bad, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Jesus,
dude, what, huh? And so there wasn't much likelihood.
Was he my muscles?
There wasn't much. Jesus Christ, there wasn't much likelihood of him pulling away from a Republican base. But dude, and you're right there in the belly of the beast. You're in Wisconsin. You are in the state that is part of why we have Trump.
I am not in Wisconsin, Brother Bob. This
oh, are you
Wisconsin
not?
Stan.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah. You're in Wisconsin Stan. Yes.
Yeah, this is not. This is a Stan
you're
now.
In, yeah,
what
you're
has
in,
happened
you're
here?
In Southwest Fitzwalker Stan.
I mean, and what has happened here is. It's a neutering. I mean, because I do live in a blue area, and most of the areas around me are blue. Most of the people I know in, they're all blue areas, and that's where all the people live. And I don't want to start rehashing 2016. You know, Hillary didn't even show up here. And, you know, funny, you know, she showed up, one of the guys, you know, the breweries that, I'm friends with the guy who did it. She showed up there in the primary time. But the reality is everyone I knew, rednecks, everybody I know here, they all, Bernie. Yeah, I like that Bernie guy. Well, Bernie didn't run. I mean, Bernie didn't win, so he didn't get to, you know, vote. I mean, I know, you know, there are people on both sides, oh, you know, you're a misogynist if you don't vote for, I mean, you know, and it goes there, and then, oh, I could never vote for that woman. We all know, we've been here. We knew how unpopular she is. You're never going to convince people that she didn't kill Vince Foster and she didn't murder those two little kids in Mena because they saw, you know, Bill's cocaine train or whatever it was. I mean, the garbage that we had to go through with her, just in terms of, and it's not true. I mean, I still find myself from now time to time saying, okay, yeah, you make these big claims, you have any evidence to say. And they don't. They just,
right.
You know, they're
and,
giving
and,
you a
no,
copy.
And,
you know,
and it, I, underst- yeah. I understand everything you're saying because I can remember back to, you know, way long ago before the 2008 primaries, having a conversation with Bart Kopp, you know, just private conversation. And, you know, he was way in the tank for Hillary, and God rest him wherever he is or isn't. But I said, dude, do you not understand that they've been building this machine and you've been railing against this machine for all these years? Do you not understand what the summary effect of that machine is going to be on her when she runs? They will eat her alive, and they will teach the American people to hate the very molecules of air that she breathes. And she will
be doomed
from the outset.
Yep. Yep.
And he was like, I just thought, and Bart was like, you know, I don't think the American people are that way. I said, well, you know, wait and see.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I hope that we're not going to be that way forever, but, you know, I think, and it sucks, people are going to die. They're going to die because they don't have health care, because they're too afraid to go to the doctor. I know I'm one of them, you know, I don't have health insurance, you know, I don't have a lot of things that, you know, I should have, you know, I mean, in fact, you know, I think one of my most gleaming plans in my life right now is to take advantage of the juris sanguinis that is afforded, descendants of Italian heritage, and get my citizenship in Italy and go back to the homeland. I mean, or the motherland, or whatever I'm for, whatever the old country. I mean, because it's a lot of me has given up, you know, and this country, you know, is like, what the fuck's to be hopeful about it? Like, who gives a shit with a lot of the things they're doing here? You know, I mean, I can't abide it. You know, we're over here fighting and screaming about this and that and what have you, and it's never going to happen because of, you know, it's so far removed, and we have, you know, white supremacists running amok, and all, you know, Sebastian Gorkas and Spencers and, you know, these deplorable, disgusting examples of humanity, the worst of what, the worst. These are the worst of the worst. The best thing Hillary, the truest thing she said was basket of deplorables. And to walk back from that for a centimeter is treason against humanity. I mean, those people, are they not deplorable? Deplorables being nice.
Yeah, no, that's the thing.
Deplorables being kind.
Right, you got to use the whole quote. I think about half of his followers are good people. The other half are people I put in what I call the basket of deplorables.
Mm-hmm.
That's the quote.
Yeah.
In other words,
half are good, just dumb.
And but she didn't even say that.
No, I know.
She was effectively talking about those people, as she called us here in Appalachia. We've got to help those people. That's, you know, the good, hard-working, salt-of-the-earth coal miners who ain't got better sense than to vote for somebody who you can't trust with a shiny new dime because he'll steal it from you. No, yeah. That, you know, good people, salt of the earth, hard-working, yeah, white Americans. You know, those are the good people. But the other half really are the neo-Nazis and the Klansmen and the homophobes, oh, yeah, and the bigots and the people who want people to die of thirst in the goddamn desert. And yeah, if that's not the textbook definition of the word deplorable, then I am at a loss for what that definition is, Albert.
You and me both, Brother Bob. I mean, well, and that's what I mean. At a certain point, all you got to do, I mean, in a lot of respects, I think, you know, just keep selling them the rope. They just keep selling them the rope. I mean, you know, hopefully, you know, I don't think they'll ever get to where they'd love to get.
Well,
but,
by the way, Scott and Punky have never heard a call with you before. Scott says, I'm loving the call with Albert. About voting, Scott says, have you ever seen any kid actually win the stuffed dog from the claw machine? Me neither. Yet somehow the GOP manages to shove those quarters into the slot every 2 or 4 years and walk away each effing time without a stuffed dog. All they come away with might be the promise or illusion that the plush toy is nearly within the kid's grasp next time around, so come back again soon and bring more quarters.
No, that's apt. I mean, the word that flies through my head when I hear this is, and I think we all know it, we need a complete overhaul. We need a complete reinvigoration. We need to rewrite these sacred documents written by those gods a few hundred years ago and who were, you know, of course, infallible. You know, we need to do things that we need to have this, you know, uncomfortable conversations about where we got to go. I mean, granted, we have one side that doesn't agree to you know, view evidence. They don't agree that, you know, they have their own facts. They have alternative facts. And then we have another side that does have facts. So, you know, I mean, I think that gets to a point to when we say, well, I think we can all agree representative democracy is a failure. Who are they representing? Are they representing me? Are they representing you? Are they representing anybody? No, they're not. They're representing billionaires and millionaires. And, you know, that's what they represent. So what can we do? We have to start all over. You know me, Brother Bob, General Strike, don't move. Sit down, don't move a goddamn thing until we get complete change and complete overhaul. Something
right,
with an eye on the future.
But the thing is, you've got to have something approaching majority participation in something like that. Because one of the most effective means by which most of this nefarious business that we're talking about has been accomplished has been via religion. It is not a mistake it's not an accident that Jerry Falwell rises to political prominence at the same time as Reagan, who couldn't have cared less about what a Southern Baptist thought, but knew how to pander.
He does, and you know,
you've got people who. Yeah, but I mean, look, here's the problem, I think. Maybe this explains it. There are a lot of religiously devout people on our side.
Mm-hmm. True.
United Churches of Christ and Unitarians and Congregationalists and Episcopalians and Decent Lutherans and OK Presbyterians. I mean, the Quakers.
Pope Frank.
Liberation theology Catholics, but not one of them, I will dare say, maybe hyperbolically, not one of them went to the polls because of their religion, Albert. They went for a variety of reasons, not just one. On the other side, however, part of that 32% cancerous knot of hard cases and dead enders are evangelicals, okay?
Oh, yeah, they are.
They're Southern Baptists and Methodists and apostolic holiness and free wills and soft shells and and those weird Lutherans and the strange Presbyterians and the and the Mel Gibson, Paul Ryan kind of Catholics. And they went to the polls. They did go to the polls because of their religion, because they because there's a weaponized machine in the right-wing religion industry that uses tickets out of hell and into heaven to get people to go and, as we like to smugly say on the left, vote against their own interests.
That's what it is, though. But
how do you take a bite out of that? They're not sitting in sackcloth and ashes right now in Alabama over the, because I keep beating on this, the 63% of white evangelical women who voted for a pedophile and the 72% of white evangelical men who did the same thing. They're not asking, oh, Lord, what did I do wrong? They're asking why everybody else could vote for an abortionist.
Well, but aren't, isn't, I mean, in terms of those demographics, they're losing. Isn't this their last gasp? This has to be their last gasp. I mean, I know I'm trying to outbreed them, you know, but you know how many kids I got, but I'm doing my part. That's all right. With his two children, $1.50. But Brother Bob, I mean, that's all I can say, point to, is the demographics are against them. You know, this is the sunrise of that. I mean, the sunset of that. You know, there's a whole, you know, the whole new generation coming up, whole new generation that by the time 2020 is ready to roll around, I mean, hopefully we're still voting by then, you know, but I know we've said that before.
Well,
but
you may not. I was going to say, you do know that I've predicted that on January the 20th, 2025, we will inaugurate President Ivanka Kushner, right? You know, I've predicted that.
Well, that's a bad prediction.
And then all those people out there, and they're going to be older, okay? They're going to be 10, 15, 20 years older by then. And all those people, I want to line them up in one place. All those people who said, Clinton Dynasty, Clinton Dynasty, Clinton Dynasty. Yeah. And I just want to slap the shit out of them, you know, when we get President Ivanka. But you know, I see. That's the thing. What in these political terms? What does last again? What does last gasp mean?
Last gasp. You know, this is the last time that I think that they're going to have the numbers in order to squeak on by like they did. I think Wisconsin. I mean, I think you know we're going to see you know Pennsylvania's gerrymandering collapse. We're going to see a lot of gerrymandering collapse. I hope we have some, you know, little goddamn quantum computers we're making and supercomputers and all the brains that we're supposed to have at this point in time in history. You know, you think we would come up with some legitimately fair ways to, you know, count votes and make sections and, you know, districts and so on
yeah,
and so
you know
forth.
That, I mean, you look at this, you look at this case out of Pennsylvania, where now, and I find, you know, we've been talking about this for a week. At first, the Republicans, when told to that they were going to have to redraw the maps or the court would do it for them, said, fuck you, and appealed to the Supreme Court, citing Bush v. Gore. Well, Sammy Alito said no and sent it back to them. So now they have to follow the court's order. The Republicans have now said that they want to impeach the five members of the Supreme Court of the state of Pennsylvania who voted that way to make them ungerrymander the state.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
And so, God almighty, they will not take no for an answer.
Oh, look, look at the time. I think it's time for some rum, Brother Bob. Yeah, they're relentless. That is, you got to give them that. They're relentless.
It's dead of winter in Wisconsin. Are you telling me you don't have a house full of brandy?
No, I'm Italian.
Rum?
Yeah, I like rum. I like rum. Rum. I like spicy ginger ale. You know me.
Well,
I got the good ginger ale. We do have some source for that stuff. But
well, no, I mean, when I saw Paul Ryan this morning with those bleary ass red eyes, I thought, it's Tuesday. That means he didn't fly in till last night. This is the first day, because Tuesday is the first day of the work week if you're a member of Congress. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it's true.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, he's been up there into the Jackwin's ginger brandy up there is what he's been into. It's Wisconsin, and it's a dead one. Of course, does he ever even go home to Janesville? I mean, come on, please.
No, I want to see the Iron Stash do some smash. I think, yeah, Randy Bryce, I think that guy's name is.
Yeah.
Wish I could vote for him. You know, I think that's what we're seeing, though, too. You know, it's kind of what President Obama had said, you know, and we all can definitely give him a lash or two here and there, but President Not Sure was pretty fucking good for being a a neoliberal guy.
Yeah. Establishment shill.
I mean, where does that get us? You know, that gets you Trump, and then hopefully, I personally hope a lot of Democrats and I hope a lot of Greens, and I don't know, a lot of them aren't, but I hope they learn the lesson too. You know, you really trying to tell me President Hillary would be this?
Dude, we'd be in a war in Iran and Russia and the imaginary island nation of Bonomo by now if Hillary was president.
I gotta stop
doing that character. Because it just...
They need to hear it.
It just depresses me.
Yeah. It is depressing.
How are
you... It's depressing.
Because we need them. I hate to say it. We need them.
Yeah, see, we need them.
I can remember being told, and I don't... This is not a matter of grudge holding, okay? I want to be clear about that. But I can remember being told during the very hateful primary process of 2016, when I said, I'm going to vote for Bernie in the primaries, but I will, by God, vote for my party's nominee in the general.
Yep.
I remember one of the Hillary mean girls on social media telling me, well, just don't vote for her. We don't need the likes of you, white old man.
Oh, God.
And I know specifically who that was.
Mm.
And not naming names or anything, I know specifically who that was. And she wasn't one of these, she wasn't a bot, and she wasn't a Putin plant. She was just a hardcore, mean-ass Hilarian. All right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those moments when I can joyfully step back and say, a pox on both your houses.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were shitty Bernie supporters and shitty Hillary supporters. And by being shitty to each other, we got Trump.
Yeah.
Because nobody understood.
I mean...
It was Casey Stengel with the 1962 Mets all over again. Does anybody here know how to play this game? Okay, because
that I don't have faith in terms of the Democratic Party. I don't.
No, me neither.
I'm hoping that we need some young blood. We need leadership. Not a big, I know everyone was gushing over. I guess if you're thirsty enough, even sewage looks good, and I'm not going to quite call the young Kennedy sewage, but I don't think he's not our hero. He's not our savior.
He was a nice safe pick to give that Democratic response because he's not running in 20. Okay, you couldn't let Kamala Harris or any of the other members. I actually came up with an acronym for it the other day. The Democratic United Ladies League, DUL, Kamala Harris or Kirsten Gillibrand or anybody with, you couldn't let anybody with presidential ambitions deliver that address. And besides, we had four others. So Patrick Kennedy was just a nice, safe choice. And immediately, the internet bloomed with memes of him saying, he took money from Big Pharma. He's a Kennedy, okay? You know what? Image is everything. They ruined him with the lip balm anyway. And I know
what was that?
I know that's very shallow, but it was a terrible thing to do to him.
It looked like he was drooling.
Drooling. Yeah. Marco Rubio got the dry mouth and they made does anybody here know how to play this game? So I didn't get particularly upset about that. I guess they just wanted to, I mean, there's a certain group that collectively wanted to clone Bernie three or four times and let him give all the responses. But the fact of the matter is, in 2020, and I don't have a problem saying this, and I'm going to vote for the Democratic nominee. It's going to take some real, real gorge. I'm going to have to, I'm just going to have to really, really suck it up to vote for one of the, either Kamala Harris or Kirsten Gillibrand, the Democratic United Ladies League, you know, because I hold throwing it. I'm still angry about that nasty little putsch they ran against the voters of Minnesota. And the voters of Minnesota have a right to be pissed about it, too. But I'll vote for the Democratic nominee in 20. That's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see, and this is ageism on my part, I don't want to see any septuagenarian candidates.
Yeah.
Male or female.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
I
want to see some young blood.
I want to see people who can continue to change the country and make the rest of the country feel like we've got a fighting chance. Because I don't want to worry about busting my ass to elect somebody and have them croak in office. Because that shit doesn't happen to Republican presidents, but it goddamn sure happens to Democrats.
Yeah, it does.
Because
Dick Cheney's still alive, isn't he?
Yeah, Count Dicula. Yeah, he may be on his third child heart at this point, for all I know.
The 10 quarts of orphan blood every day. I mean,
God damn it. I know. But I want to see somebody who can inspire further generations. And I really, really don't want to worry about, but I also know that I'm probably going to get my hopes dashed in some way or another, because I'll probably support the person who doesn't wind up being the nominee. It just works that way for me. Because I'm iconoclastic like that, and I don't do mainstream real good. And then we'll watch the nominee do something unutterably stupid, like nominating a Joe Lieberman or a Tim Kaine.
Or, you know, touch a woman on her shoulder.
I mean, the one thing, honest to God, if Hillary had made Bernie her running mate, this would have all been over.
Yeah.
Not if Bernie would have accepted. Yeah. If Bernie would have accepted it.
Yeah.
It's more like 2020 hindsight, but I'm really, really comfortable in saying that.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that happening. I mean, that would have been I mean, but when it comes to the young blood, I want people who are going to be here for a while after they leave office. You know, I want to see people that actually kind of have a vested interest in the future. You know, that, you know, I mean, it's nice that they have grandchildren, but, you know, that doesn't mean you care about them. You know, I think that whole generation has already shown that, you know, in terms of how much debt in all the forms, not money, because money's not real, but there are all the other forms of debt, the climate, you know, the energy debt, the resource debt, all the real debts that are going to really kind of, you know, crush us like a vice. You know, I want to see people that care about these things that, you know, for their children. You know, I mean, we got, but yeah, they'll celebrate $1.50 $1.50, unbelievably.
See, and that's one of the things I remember about our conversations of a former time, Brother Albert. You were the first one to bring to the attention of the Horn Family Community Congregation the Republican Nicola Post campaign. I remember, you know, you would take one for the team and go into the comments and just Nicola Post, Nicola Post, for all those little wing nuts out there, because they came up with, and then David Brock picked up on it, and we had Brock Bucks in the last election, and all the, and then who knew what was actually going on in some goddamn computer bunker under the frozen tundra in Russia.
But back then, Kopecka Post. Yep. Well, you think about it even back then. I mean, you know, people who were saturated, like we get saturated, we can wind up saying, what's up with this bot stuff? This ain't real. These people are getting paid. Where did this guy come from? These kind of things, you know, never seen this person before. All of a sudden. So, you know, what winds up happening is, I think that's common knowledge now, isn't it? I mean,
are you not seeing it? I see it practically every day. Russia didn't do anything to our elections.
Oh, well, yeah, we'll see about that. We already know they did. They can say whatever they want. Like right now, I mean, I think the lies are, I mean, that's just, maybe I'm not naive, but I think their lies are so quickly exposed that,
you'll see a tweet from Julian Assange, and it will be followed by "You're a hero. You're wonderful. You're standing for freedom, Julian." Oy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, it's funny too. When there was a period of time there where, you know, I think there was a period of time Julian Assange was kind of somewhat on the right side of history. He fell off. They all, you know.
Well, but the thing is, he was who he was all along. It's just that it's true. That old enemy of my enemy is my friend thing, and that will eventually bite you in the ass. And Julian Assange was always a right-wing, libertarian-leaning POS.
Yeah.
But for a time there, during the reign of error, he was our POS. And then he turned. But there are still people who are willing to say, well, okay. I mean, you know, you're a nasty little booger eater for Trump now, but gosh, we still love you from when we loved you.
Nah, yeah, that's easy. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, fella. You're huff and glue now. I can't hang out with you.
Well,
yeah.
The basement of the Ecuadorian embassies, the walls are closed in. I suspect. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't envy his life in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, why isn't he just living a life of luxury in Ecuador now? Why not sneak him out in a diplomatic pouch, a really big one, and just fly him down to Quito? Because he doesn't want to be in Quito.
Yeah, well, he wants to be able to speak his language, don't he? Brother Bob, I mean, yeah, we're in a fucking mess. This is a mess. Everyone knows this is a mess. This is the worst. I mean, and it's funny, you know, we're not in war yet. We're not doing this yet. We're not doing that yet. But this is the worst I've ever felt for this country. It's terrible. This is just awful. This is, you know, and the only hope I can almost take in that it is so awful that it's going to elicit change. It's going to elicit real change. You know, and in fact, I want it to almost speed up. I want to keep going. Do it. Do more. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Give another trillion to the billionaires. Do it. Do it. Keep going. Keep going. Please keep going.
Yeah, it's
because
that,
the
it's
more
that,
they do.
It's that it's the end of what is it? Beneath the Planet of the Apes. Oh, mighty bomb. No, I understand that. It's a lizard brain response. It's an amygdala response.
Yeah.
Yeah. If 'twere done, 'twere best done quickly, to get all Shakespearean. But.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say, like, I mean, my God, I don't want, you know, I don't want that happening. But, you know, I want them.
No, but you want some tectonic, titanic thing that will make the American people finally see reason. But because I'm a little ray of fucking sunshine, things like Pennsylvania are a case in point, but it's the whole damn country for the most part, except like California. There are a lot of issues we can point to and say the American people have seen reason. What's the percentage of the American people that actually wants something done about the easy access to firearms that winds up with 75 dead people and hundreds wounded in Vegas, or a bunch of dead children in some random school wherever the NRA's roulette wheel stops? You know, it's crazy. It's 70%, 80%, 90%.
Going to get uglier.
Clear majority understands that climate change is real and would like to move toward a clean energy economy, because, you know, I don't care how much you're paying for gasoline, it pisses you off every time you have to. God forbid you use heating oil in the winter. The American people, there are a lot of issues where the American people are like, yeah, we kind of wish the government would get its act together. But when they go to the polls, the ones who do, to try to affect that change, as I keep hammering, the gerrymandering is so bad that you can you can have statewide results that swamp the Republicans, and yet they even gain seats where instead of losing them.
Yep. Oh, you know, I know.
That part of the game is very much rigged, very much fixed.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
What
is that tectonic, titanic event that overcomes that, Albert?
That's what I mean. Like, it has to, I feel, you know, when I think of this kind of stuff, and, you know, I think that it has to get so bad. It has to be, you know, I mean, what happens when robots take your job? Think that's not going to happen? Oh, that's going to happen. You think that shit ain't going to happen? Watch it. Truckers, you know, think about that in terms of blue collar jobs, you know, that are nationwide, you know, in, you know, gritty neighborhoods and, you know, communities across the country. Not, you know, that's a high paying job, you know, dad and mom or out on the road, they're working, you know, how many, 100 hours a week, you know, they're doing, whatever they're logged, you know, I guess they're all electric locks now, but whatever they're doing, you know, and it makes a nice income. You think a human truck fleet of trucks can't be done. You know, you think you're like, you know, in terms of where I was working at Organic Valley, you think robots couldn't do it? They already build warehouses that do that. They don't need, you know, they can go from, you know, they could take a warehouse, move from 300 employees to 20. And that's what's, you know, I mean, all the big banks, all the investment firms, all these guys, you know, they say, you know, this is 40% of your jobs by 2020. You know, AI, we already have it. They've had AI that's gone awry. They've had to shut it off and kill it already. You know, these things are happening faster and faster and faster. They're going to take over. The Wall Street, that shit, we've got the computer that laid off all the jobs because Brando's costs, dropped. You can't, you know, all that shit is algorithms, you know, and then once they click on AI, you think they're going to afford that. And the AI is going to be doing everything then. And then, you know, I mean, then the game is going to be a bunch of hackers running around, you know what I mean? Like a bunch of wall hackers and aimbotters. I mean, I think it's going to have to get bad, but Brother Bob. And I think, you know, once people see, you know, I mean, I don't even know how they haven't seen it already, you know, but once they see the prosperity and the efficiency taking over and they're not getting any of it. And in fact, they just keep, they just keep going down and down and down.
I hear the unemployment numbers, Albert. And I always ask myself, because, and that comes back to what I was asking at the beginning of the program, why can't we have an economic metric of we don't have a good economy until a single wage earner can house, feed, clothe, and educate a family on a single income without public assistance? Because whenever I see these goddamn million-dollar-a-year talking heads on TV, oh, the economy's huddling, chugging right along there, Blake. Yeah. You know, no, because how many of those jobs, and, you know, Donnie dipshit on his State of the Union thing. Oh, the economy is fabulous. It's a beautiful economy. Trust me, believe me, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
How many of those are minimum wage, not even full time jobs, at McDonald's and Wendy's, and God help me, Culver's. Sorry. Every now and then, I think about a Butter Burger, the nearest one's a the Blue Burger. Oh, stop it!
Blue Bacon Butter Burger, Bob.
Oh, you're hurting me.
But I'm with you.
That's not
economy.
And what happens when it gets automated to the point that all those people don't have jobs?
Well,
because they are no longer necessary. They've been rationalized and eliminated.
Well, I mean, now think about it, though, right? Okay, let's think of that world. You've got solar panels on your house. You've got robots doing your farming. The petrochemical industry that has to feed them, not so much anymore because now, I mean, they have these things. They've got these robot combine things that run around looking for pests, and they shine them with a UV light or a little laser beam. There's the laser beam pest control, laser beam weeding of the crops, and they harvest and farm. I mean, you've seen, you know, they have these the lettuce. You ever seen them? Right? I'm telling you. Yeah. It's coming. I mean, it's here. And, you know, like even here where I live, you know, they've got automatic robotic milking machine things where one guy is milking, you know, 500 cows an hour. You know, so it's like, you know, and they don't do anything. The robot does it everything. The robot, the machine, the building does it all. It cleans the teats. It gives them a treat. It brushes them. I mean, it makes the cows happy as they can be. So they're, you know, all the good hormones are high in the milk because that stuff counts for the way it tastes and how long it lasts. I mean, the innovations, they're coming. There's no stopping them. You know, there's no Amish land. There's no Amish land, you know, that I can see where there's going to be, you know,
And you know what? All that automation does not affect one's organic certification now, does it?
No, not at all. And why would it? I mean, you know, when we think about a lot of where we're going to be headed, you know, you're not going to need the money. Money's a game. That's the other freaking thing that drives me absolutely nuts. And I don't know why they think they need so much of it. But like we talked about this when Mitt Romney was fucking running. Like, Mitt, you got enough for the spaceships. Go to your fucking planet already.
I remember that.
Like, you know,
off to Kolob, Mitt Willard.
Yeah, go to Kolob. Get the hell out of here. You know, and it's like when we're looking at how much do you already need? You got everything. Right, and now they've got more than they've ever had in world history. So, you know, I mean, eventually it comes to a point with Monopoly where you get up and you stop playing it. You know, you just say, yeah, you win. New game. I mean, doesn't it have to come to a new
Freaking
stupid game. It's a stupid game. Especially the way this country plays it. I mean, other countries, democracies play it a lot better. You know, they've got health care. They've got school. They can get into it. You know, they don't let you start. They don't let someone own everything. And then people, you know, landed in, you know, just visiting jail until eventually they, you know, they're going to get caught because they've only got the one die to roll because God help an American that can afford two die, you know, shit. I can't afford two of them. I can do one of them. Oh, nope. You know, then you got Meghan McCain telling you to save your $25. It's like, you know, I love women, but bitch, I need that $25 for gas. I need that $25 to feed my kids. I can't save. What do you? It's only $25. Yeah, it's only $25. Well, I'm sure you can call your dad and ask for $25. Oh, you don't need that. You already got your nepotism bonus slide rocket pack. The thing is this inequality can't stand. You know, I mean, how much longer? I mean, and they could do it's going to be lit. It's going to be time. But, you know, cops can't just shoot everybody continuously all the time because somebody's got a freaking wallet in their hand. You know, and now white people are starting to get shot. Uh-oh, I mean, they don't get granted for riots anymore because, you know, it's only a riot when you're trying to change the status or you're challenging the status quo. You know, but that's the reality. Hang on, I got to open the door. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going to change. I don't know what's going to change the thing, Brother Bob. I really don't.
We do really have a don't. Suggestion coming from Scott. I'm hoping it'll show up in the form of a video 1-2-3 punch video dump. First, an apprentice outtake video of a nonstop N-word Trump rant, followed in the next day or so by actual video of Trump engaging in some of his bragged about pussy grabbing, followed in quick succession by Melania showing up in public with a black eye.
I don't know. How many women did he
get? But the thing is, I don't know that does the trick, though, because it ain't. No. All Trump, you know, Charlie Pierce had a great retrospective on what he refers to as the infection of the Republican brain with the prion disease from back when Reagan first fed the GOP the monkey brains. And it's, you know, that's one of the mistakes we made. It is a Republican problem. It is not a Trump problem. It didn't come to fruition or else you and I would not have this long history of conversations talking about Willard Romney having spaceship money. Okay. It is a Republican problem. And what Scott describes there, for all the goodness of it, doesn't address the problem of letting people have the reins of government who don't believe that government should exist in the first place.
Amen,
which is you know, a big part of it. I got to get out of here, Albert, but what a treat this has been.
Yes,
I had no idea this was going to happen, but again, this is why our conversations were for the
ages. I missed you. Absolutely.
Isaac tweeted something to me earlier this evening and said, "Do y'all remember this?" And the clever monkey and a reference to the clever monkeys of Jersey Shore.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
I
played a lot.
I actually go back and watch that more often than, yes.
Yeah, I watch it all the time. David, hey, Planet Earth 2. Beautiful, beautiful if you haven't seen it. And Blue Planet 2 is coming, too. So I'm glad we still have David Attenborough. I'm still waiting for the clever monkeys of America to be done, but maybe one day soon. Brother Bob, you take care. I love you all, Horn family. I'll call back. I promise.
Do not.
I won't let it ever happen like this. No, I won't. It's just been. Well, one day I'll call you on off the air, and I'll tell you all the sorted and mad, you know, horrors.
All right.
But you be good, Brother Bob.
I won't say sounds good. All right,
be good.
All right. You take care, Albert. Stay warm.
Yes, sir. All right, bye.
The Sage of Southwest Wisconsin, Brother Albert. We're near the end of the program. I didn't interrupt our conversation to tell anybody about where fundraising was. Thank you very kindly to Brian. Brian is an army of one this evening during the program. We took the fundraising goal down to only $245 to go. That's where we find ourselves now, $245. Which means the fundraising goal tomorrow will be $555, which is kind of icky unless it comes down some overnight. Remember, this is all about keeping the horn on the air and being able to have some fundraising free broadcast days at the end of February. So $245 is where we stand. If anybody wants to knock that some portion of that down between now and airtime tomorrow, that would be great. And thank you very kindly. For the new contributors I saw overnight. Thank you again very much indeed. Closing out with a note from Michael in Madison. That's one Wisconsin after another. Subject line, Bernie would have accepted it. I strongly believe that word, I know, that Bernie would have accepted the vice presidency. To me, that's never even been a question. Maybe some tell-all will be published someday proving me wrong, but if the Hillary folks came to him hat in hand, telling him to never mind the Nate Silvers, we've run the numbers internally and we need you on the ticket, I don't see how he turns it down. Not trying to rehash 2016. I have a lot of problems with both Hillary and Bernie. There we are. But I really believe picking Tim Kaine was a monumental disaster, biggest mistake Hillary and company made, and it probably came down to her ego, to stubbornness and overconfidence. I mean, even Ronnie Reagan picked George Voodoo Economics Bush. But Hillary and Bernie couldn't put aside their differences? Ugh. Maybe it's a false memory, and I'm thinking of a conversation with another friend, but I feel like I was on the phone with you, one of my rare calls to the horn when the news broke about Tim Kaine being chosen. I remember getting a sinking feeling, a feeling of despair, and expressing said feeling with some combination of groaning and expletives. I still figured she'd win, but in retrospect, maybe we knew that was the end. Man, it's nice to hear Brother Albert again. I don't think I've heard him call in since I moved back to Wisconsin, Stan. I never realized we were the same age. Close, I figured, but not the same. I turned 40 this year. Jesus Christ, I think that's the first time I typed that out. Again, ugh. Signed, Michael in Madison. Well, I hope it's been as much a treat for y'all as it has been for me. I haven't heard from Albert in eons. Arthur says, we were worried sick, Brother Albert, and Bob ate your dinner. Okay, we'll end with a little cowbell. Thanks, everybody, for joining in the program. Thanks for participating however it is you choose to do. Thank you very kindly. Thank you to all of you who support the program. Thank you to our subscribers. Thank you to, thank you again, Brian, this evening. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.